Our epistle reading for today from Hebrews chapter 2 is a veritable goldmine of theology. This passage helps to explain why Jesus had to become human, had to suffer, had to die for our sins in our place. But it's just not some stuffy theologian speech. This passage reminds us in plain words that Jesus is both God and man. As a man, he understands our struggles and stands in as our perfect high priest. As God, he fulfills the Old Testament sacrificial system, taking the place of the sacrifices that once covered sins, but only temporarily. And now through him, we have complete forgiveness and eternal life. The first part of verse 14 helps us to understand why Jesus had to come down to earth from his place in heaven to live like the rest of us as a human being. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel had to offer animal sacrifices to cover their sins. The blood of animals, though commanded by God, could never truly take away their sin. It only pointed to a greater sacrifice to come. Jesus became human so he could be that perfect sacrifice for us. Only a human could take the place of other humans under God's law. If Jesus had remained only God, only divine, he would not have been able to suffer and die in our place. And if God had only been human in the form of Jesus Christ, he couldn't have atoned for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Only the God-man can do these things. And there are several places in the Bible, other than our verses in Hebrews chapter 2, that can help us with this. Romans 5, 18 through 19 reads, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." Just as Adam's sin brought condemnation to all of us, Jesus' perfect obedience brings righteousness to all of us. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Since death came into the world through one man, Adam, resurrection also had to come into the world through one man, our Savior, Jesus Christ." With Lent coming up very quickly, these verses are maybe the most appropriate. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. In Isaiah's day, the Old Testament high priest would enter the most holy place in the temple once a year on the Day of Atonement and offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. But those sacrifices had to be made over and over again. Jesus, smitten, stricken, afflicted on the cross, entered the most holy place of the temple once and for all by offering himself as the perfect Lamb of God, the final sacrifice. Through his death, he fulfilled the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and made the way for us to be fully forgiven. Our epistle continues with the rest of verse 14 and 15. that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. Because of sin, all people, that means you and me, everyone, are under the power of death. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of our sin is death. Satan uses that sin to keep people afraid of dying. He uses that fear to keep people in spiritual slavery. But Jesus broke the power of death, defeated Satan when he died on the cross and he rose again. He defeated death itself. And in our baptism, we are united in that death and in his resurrection. Romans 6:23 continues, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As believers, we no longer have to fear death because we know that eternal life awaits for those who have faith in God. And because of Christ, we can live in freedom from fear, knowing that our sins are truly and forever forgiven, and that death has no power over us. Verse 16 continues, for surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. This verse is specifically saying that Christ's death on the cross was not for the angels, but for mankind. Therefore, when Christ came to earth, he didn't come in the form of an angel, but of a human. Lutheran theologian Paul Kretzmann writes, neither the good angels, being sinless and spiritual beings, nor the evil angels, being spiritual beings beyond reclaim, are included in the redemption of flesh and blood as carried out by Christ. The good angels have no need of redemption because they are locked in their holiness, as mentioned in 1 Timothy 5, verse 21, when they are called God's elect angels. The fallen angels are locked in their rebellion, as detailed in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. Neither of these group of angels have need of a Savior. Only mankind does. Mankind is referenced by the offspring of Abraham, both Jew and Gentile. Moving on to verse 17. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Here again, the writer of Hebrews confirms that Jesus had to be a man to pay for man's sins, to appease God's wrath. Christ was a like sacrifice. As I previously mentioned, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the most holy place in the temple to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. This was a type of the sacrifice to come. It pointed ahead to what Jesus would do permanently. Jesus replaced or superseded the Old Testament sacrificial system. And Jesus, as the great high priest, didn't bring an animal sacrifice. He gave himself. He didn't have to offer sacrifices repeatedly. As the God-man, his one sacrifice was enough for all time. And even now, Jesus stands before God on our behalf. He understands our weaknesses. After all, he came to earth as a human and prays for us as our eternal high priest. Therefore, we all can approach God with confidence, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are always welcome before him. And finally, verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. One of the most comforting things in the Bible is that we know that Jesus understands us, that he understands what it means to struggle. Unlike the Old Testament priests, who often lived separated from the common people, Jesus lived among us, suffered. He experienced hardship. He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He experienced hunger, betrayal, loneliness, and physical pain. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus knows what it feels like to suffer. He is like us in every way except without sin, so that he can comfort us when we go through hard times. When we face trials, we need to turn to him for guidance, for strength, for patience. The book of Hebrews, and especially our epistle reading for today, is rich in theology. In these few short verses, we are reminded that Jesus is everything we need for salvation. He became a human so that he could take our place. He defeated death and the devil by rising again on the third day. He is our perfect high priest who made the final sacrifice, and he understands our struggles and helps us through them. The Old Testament sacrificial system pointed to something greater. Jesus is that something greater. He is the fulfillment of God's sacrificial plan. And as the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice offered by our great high priest. And because of him, we are completely forgiven and have eternal life. So whenever we struggle with our sin, our fears, our doubts, we need to remember that Jesus is with us. He understands us, and he will never fail us. Amen.